I'm afraid it is. I'm back again. So what we really want now is a chance for you to really talk to us and question us about what we've heard. As Bernie and Dad and Tim and I have all been saying to you, this isn't about believing the guy at the front. This is about being stimulated to look at things, poke around and say, oh, I'm not sure about that. I think that's wrong. Maybe that's right, or maybe you can read it like this. So Dad is going to have a roving mic for people who want to ask questions. If you ask the question, I will just point it to maybe one of the Bible teachers or maybe just to all of them and open the floor to really discuss what these questions are and how to answer them.
Anyone want to ask a question of anybody? Or make a comment? Right, Terry.
Just a practical question, David. Is it the intention to publish the passages that you're going to be looking at in advance, well in advance, so that we can all read up before the sessions?
The answer is yes. Yeah, that's the point of having the web page, is so that we can put stuff up. And that's the kind of question we want. Tell us what you want, because we want to be able to provide what we can. Leading up to the summer, which is actually only another two evenings, unfortunately, we're going to be looking at a whole book. One of us is going to go through a book and say, this is what it's about, these are the key things, and hopefully help you have resources and the interest to actually study the book in depth. Which book? I'm on next time doing Hebrews. And after that, is Bernie doing Genesis or not?
But one of the rotten things is, Graham and I met up for a seat down at the outlet centre, and we're sitting there talking, and he said, oh, I'm going to do Hebrews. And I said, ah, oh, so am I. So he told me how to change it.
All right, Cathy.
What happens if we haven't got computers? What do we do about that?
That is a limitation. It's a shame, but they didn't have computers for the last couple of thousand years since Jesus. There are Bibles. There are various Bibles. Borrow some. Ask people what they've got. Because a lot of us who do have computers have books lying around that we're not using anymore or don't use very much. So do ask. You know, certainly I have. Lots of hands going up now. I think Janet was first I saw.
I have not a computer, but I have a concordance, which does the same thing as Graham was talking about, when you're looking up different words, you know, where they occur.
Yeah, that's the old-fashioned way we used to do it, isn't it? You have a concordance where basically it's a list of all words and the verses that have that word in them. Now, Karen.
I was going to make a suggestion for the people that haven't got computers. Would it be possible to just have a printout of some of the resources that they can use without a computer, or what you're actually... A bit more, because you said you're not just going to put the passage on. There might be other things. Yeah. So there might be things that will help people without computers.
Yes, I mean, that's a good point. If we're putting up resources, it's important, if you haven't got a computer, that you can still access them. And so we can print things out. And so what I will do is make sure that if we've got resources that you need for the coming up, for the upcoming teaching, then we'll make sure we have some available. As soon as I put them on the website, I'll print some out and bring them down here. John.
I'm talking about the importance of Israel earlier on. It takes me right back to Genesis 12. And the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country and your people and go to a land where I'll show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So this is the nation. These are the people who were to bring, through whom the Messiah was going to come. This one nation and this one people.
Thank you, John. Yeah. Paul.
I think it's great just hearing about how Scripture speaks to us differently, and how we all come away perhaps thinking something a little bit differently to the person on our left and right. And without wanting to throw a hand grenade into the evening, but I think it is about looking at Scripture and challenging our assumptions about what we believe and why we believe it. One example of that would be that there doesn't appear to be anywhere in Scripture where it says Jesus is God. Now, you can refer to Nicaea and the Chalcedon Councils, and there are lots of Scriptures, for instance, which promote that idea, I and the Father are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. God so loved the world that he sent his Son. But the actual phrase, Jesus was God, doesn't actually appear. So it's important, I think, that we all go back to our Bible and study it and have these sort of evenings where we can actually discuss what we actually do believe, and do it in a safe environment where we can all take something away, and it may not change any of our presuppositions we had at all, but it may actually be a starter for us actually for going deeper into Scripture and just coming away with a little bit something different.
Thanks, Paul. Did you want to respond to that, David?
I would just say that yes, we definitely do want to discuss all these issues. The only thing I would say is the fact that there is no phrase in the Bible that just says Jesus is God doesn't actually mean a great deal to me, because there is so much evidence that you can't interpret any other way that Jesus was Lord. So if Thomas calls Jesus my Lord and my God and isn't rebuked by Jesus but told, because you have seen me, you believe, blessed are they who have seen yet do believe, it's quite clear that Jesus was God. And it's that kind of response we need to give to people who try to go for that trick, because it is something that the Jehovah's Witnesses also claim. Jesus wasn't God because the Bible doesn't say he was. But Paul is also quite right. We must be debating all of these issues in a good environment, finding out what the Bible really says, because it's not just good enough to say, this is what the Bible says, I know that's what the Bible says, but I don't know where. We need to be able to find where and know where.
Thank you, David. And Ernie had a question or comment.
It really wasn't a question. It was a sort of comment, really. I'm sure we all believe this, but one of the dangers, I think, we've all got so many bits, Bibles and that around, we don't really value the Bible as we should do. I mean, you read the Bible Society, they'll tell you that someone in China will walk 16, 17 miles just to get a bit of the Bible. And, of course, if you had a Bible in certain Middle East countries, you'd actually be a death sentence. So we take it for granted the actual, when the Queen was at the coronation, she was told the most valuable possession she could have was a Bible. So we got these Bibles, and we got the power of the Scripture in them. And I was reminded recently when I was talking to someone, it's a longer story, but in fact, when I was talking to someone who was dying in Medway Hospital, I read that scripture which said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And I said to this person, do you accept that? And he said, yes, I accept that. I said, have you turned away from the things you know to be wrong? Yes, I have, he said. I said, do you know what it says in the Bible? If you've really done that, it says that in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, you'll be with Jesus. And that's how powerful the scripture is. And we sometimes forget that and dismiss it. But that's the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Bible.
Roy Jones here. Thanks for St. Mark's putting this on tonight. I'm very appreciative of the idea and the series. I just want to pick up on the point that several times it's been stressed that we don't just want one person at the front speaking to a group and we're all passive, but actually the arrangement we've got is one person at the front and we're all in a classroom position. Now, I realise it would be a lot of work to rearrange the chairs, but I think it would help the change the ambience if we were more circular and we weren't in a classroom mode. Now, I realise that might be difficult to do, but it's just a comment that I'm...
It is a question of labour. Ah, sorry, Siju.
I just want to buttress the fact that Jesus is God. John chapter 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. And through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. Amen.
Thanks, Siju. Just to follow on that, I think, again, one of the things that we miss out often is understanding the context of Scripture, because it wasn't written for the 21st century person in English. Jesus' language was Aramaic. So what we're reading has been translated a couple of times, and sometimes there are words that we don't even have in English, and we're trying to understand them through English. And when it comes to understanding the context in which Jesus lived, it doesn't recall Jesus as saying, "I am God," and standing in front of the synagogue to everybody. Why? Because he wouldn't have had 3 years of ministry. He'd have been dead there and then. Because we need to understand that to the Jews, for somebody to claim to be God was horrendous. And every normal Jew would have picked up a stone to kill that person, because that's how they saw it. So Jesus isn't going to stand there and say it exactly that way. So it's just another angle on that. Tim, you're looking humpy. Did you want to say anything on that? Okay. Anyone else? Oh, right, Raymond.
For a month or so, I've just been struggling on a question. Good Friday's service on the high street. A non-Christian asked me about Jesus, and I was explaining him to the him the story. And at the end, he tells me, or he asked me, that why did Jesus have to die and then rise again for our sins? Why not something else in that place? I know Tim did touch on the resurrection. So just short and sweet, that if any non-Christian asks us, how do we reply in that way, or what do we tell them?
One of the others like to answer? I've spoken enough, I think. David, Tim, or Bernie, did you want to say?
Yes, it's a very tricky one, I think, because there's no concept in this world of what sin means and how bad it is. I don't have a definite answer, because I'd have to be having that conversation. So there's no, this is what you say and this will always work. You're always going to get a scenario that doesn't make sense. I would say what we need to remember is just how perfect God is and how imperfect we are as people. And for that, there could not be any other price other than Jesus' death and resurrection. It's not enough for, say, one man to be a perfect man and then to die and rise again, because we'd still have to live up to that. It had to be God himself who died, because that is the only way that we as humans could enter into God's glory.
Okay, thanks, David. And is it Lucy?
Just want to double check I understood the question. Did they say about why he chose to rise again and not something else? Is that what the main thing was? That Jesus died and rose again? Because my response, right, would be, how many other dead people do you know rose from the dead? Like, how many other people do you know rose from the dead? Would be my first response, probably. But I think, yeah, just kind of putting that across and being like, I think it's quite a big thing. But, yeah, maybe I'm...
Lucy, it was this was the question, but the I think what he the point he was raising was that why to die and then rise again? Why not something else besides that? So, yeah, that was it. So.
Okay, all right, Siji, you want to come in again?
I'll try to answer because in the Old Testament it would be an animal sacrifice. And that's how you will restitute for your sins. But then he said, he did say that he will give us his own son as a, what's the word, to restitute as a replacement in the new dispensation, that he will come and imagine someone giving their only son to die for our sins. So he had to, use the way that they've been using from time of old, the Old Testament, because it is usually an animal sacrifice, isn't it? So, but now he's using his own son as a sacrifice, and that has paid the price for everything, that we won't need to use animal sacrifices anymore, because otherwise, each time we sin, Saji will have to go and burn an animal at the altar. And we don't have to do that. How many animals will be, you know, slaughtered just to... So he had to do that once and for all and pay the price once and for all, I think.
Thanks, Chi. I think that one of the problems we have is that maybe a few decades ago at least, if you said that the price of sin is death, if we don't meet God's standards, the only option is death. That is very hard for our postmodern person, especially young person, to get. And maybe we just need to rethink how we explain the gospel sometimes, because the gospel doesn't change, but the society around us understands things differently. And to actually explain it in a way they'd understand would actually take quite a long time, I think. And that's often the problem. We don't have time to give the kind of background to somebody who has no idea about Christianity and the Bible and what it all says. So, again, hopefully knowing our scriptures better will help us to get our head around, really, the key truths and how to share them. We've got Janet. Hold on, John. I'll go to Janet first. There's a book called that from the old days.
It came in a play that I saw once that really struck me. Sometimes when terrible things happen to people, sometimes the reaction is, someone's got to pay for this. And then... if you're a Christian, your immediate reaction is, yes, someone has. And then we have it in the hymn, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin.
That's great. Thanks, Janet. Yes. This is why we all need to share together. John?
Well, I think the most descriptive... the strongest description of sin I've ever heard spoken is, and it's been explained as the malignant cancer of the human soul, which is 100% lethal, affecting 100% of the population, making it 100% impossible for any human being to enter the kingdom of heaven, enter heaven, without Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross.
Thank you, John. That's good. I think we probably need to start winding it up now, David.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay. Right, you've already spoken about what you're going to be doing next month, Dad. So is there anything else you want to say about that, or do you think you've already made it clear?
I'll add a bit. If I can stand there. David, can I take the lectern a second? Sorry, he's having trouble with his hearing aids today. Okay. The only thing I was going to say was really to give you an idea of what we're going to be doing with Hebrews. Hebrews is, we've kind of touched on it a bit tonight, really. It's chock full of Old Testament stuff. And if you just try and read it, it can seem just so convoluted and repetitive and talking about Melchizedek and all sorts of odd things. And you can kind of think, well, why is this in the New Testament? How does this really help us? And the fact is, it totally connects the New Testament to the Old Testament. It brings Jesus into perspective. I don't want to give away what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to say yet. But the whole thing is that it's one of those books which you can very easily ignore. Everyone knows Hebrews 11 about faith. But how much else of it do we kind of know? So I just want to give an overview, pick out some key areas that we can look at and see much better how Jesus is so much a fulfillment of everything that's gone before, and give Jesus himself much more context so we can understand better some of the things he said and why he said them, and things that Paul writes about as well. So I hope that we can learn together how to read it constructively and not get bored by its convolutions. Thank you.
Okay, now, the only other thing to say is we have got the slide for the web page up on the screen, okay.
No projections, so it's not there.
Okay. But there is, as we've said, a web page for the teaching stream we've been doing. So do go to that and do find the resources which we've been talking about, and you can be ready for next month. And also, if you still have questions which you haven't had the chance to ask yet, don't panic, because we're still here tonight, so you can still talk to us over another drink, or you can come and find us during the weeks after this and ask us again. We're not just dedicating this to Sunday. If you want to ask us something, do come find us, do ask us. And if you have any comments about the format of how we've done things tonight, like the one about the classroom setting, do please come find me, come find Graham, and ask us both, and we will take on board whatever you've got to say. And before we go this evening, I'm just going to close us in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word, which is a lamp to our feet. It is our life, Lord Jesus. It brings us life and tells us all about you. We thank you for the evening we've been able to have tonight, for having the scriptures open to us. And we pray that as this series continues, people will learn more and more about you, what it is you have to offer, what it is you give us, and why it's so important that we know your word as well as we can. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And do please come back to the next teaching stream. Do come to the other teaching streams as well. And do please bring any friend you know who might enjoy the teaching stream. This isn't about equipping St. Mark's, it's about equipping the church. So if you know anyone who might be interested, do please bring them along.